believe God, believe the Bible, and look right, walk right, talk right, and spit white. That's just the way that it is. And I can tell you right now, what an excellent job that was, and all the way around. It was a refreshing to my heart and my soul, and I appreciate how good God's been, and thank you for giving us that good message. All right, if you're able to stand, we're going to be looking a couple of minutes here tonight. Over in the book of Romans, there's going to be a chapter number that we looked at in 16. Now, we already preached on It's Good to Be a Part of the House of God, Part 1. I want to preach on I'm Glad to Be a Part of the House of God, Part Number 2. And we'll look there in the chapter that's there, beginning with about verse number 3. Now, greet Priscilla and Aquila and my helpers in Christ Jesus, who for my life have laid down their own necks, to whom not only I give thanks, but also of the churches of the Gentiles. And likewise, we greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphanitus, if that's the way you pronounce that. Epaphanitus, I've got a self-pronouncing Bible, and I practiced it a whole bunch. Now I'm not getting close of it. Who's the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ? And then greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us, so forth and on. Now, our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of the Word, and we thank you for it. Thank you for the good sermon that we've already heard this evening. We ask you to hide it in our hearts that we not sin against thee, and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. We thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated. All right, here I want to preach a little bit tonight on I'm glad to be a part of the family of God, and this is going to be part number 2. Now, when you look at that, Priscilla and Aquila, these were two people that were acquaintances with the Apostle Paul. When he went to Corinth, you'll find that he stayed with them some, and he hooked up with them because they had the same kind of craft and working. They were tent makers, and they built tents. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, that you'll find that here, that we learn that this couple, that they had jeopardized their own lives to give out the message to those that were round about them. I was looking at the lesson that we're looking at. He said, they're my helpers. And it was a personal, united interaction that they showed him. In fact, they had jeopardized their own lives. You know, preaching is a dangerous business, especially in the day and hour they lived in. I got to say to you that in the day and hour we're living in, as many Muslims as we've got standing out on the street corners that are desecrating our images and our statues of memory of old patriarchs in days gone by, that are destroying cities, that are tearing it up, that hate God, that hate the Bible, they hate the Lord Jesus, they hate anybody that stands for Jesus. It's a dangerous day we live in, and I'm afraid we're going to see it become a whole lot more dangerous. Now, I want to say to you that here, that you'll find that Priscilla and Aquila, they both of them had a very good testimony. And as a result of that, you're going to find is that the church that he said that they had started in their house. Now, let me tell you, some people are going to use verse 5 as an excuse. Well, I don't go to church. I just have church in my house. That's not the same thing they're talking about here. What he's talking about here, they started a church. What kind of church? It was a Bible preaching, Bible believing, local church. It was a church at Buddy that met together on the first day of the week, being Sunday. That's the resurrection day, by the way. It was a church, buddy, that was started in their house. It was started for their family. It was started for their people around about them. And let me tell you, it was a designated place as well as a designated people and a designated time. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that the purpose that they had was that they might evangelize the world and get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Now, you know, when we talk about fighting the good fight of faith, here's the way the average Baptist goes to thinking. Here's carnal thinking. Whenever you're trying to fight the good fight of faith, it has nothing to do with your fist. Not whatsoever. The reason being that people swell up and get bad, want to stalk and kick and bite and fight, they don't understand what the good fight of faith is. Right. The good fight of faith, buddy, is standing on the word of the Lord with a chapter, book, and verse, yes, and not backing up with him. Yes. Most of the time in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find out that like this crowd that was here, he said they have laid down their own necks. I'll tell you something. These were people that were friends all the way to the end. Yeah. I get you out here somewhere tonight, and let's just say that, for instance, we went out and got something to drink, and we drank out of some nasty cups and all of that, not intending to, but then somebody comes over. That was my drink, you just, and then they get into it and want to get, that's not a good fight of faith, see. That's a good fight of envy, and that's a good fight of lust. That's a good fight of strife, and if you will, play. But God's not looking at that. Let me tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of the stronghold. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, the Bible said that here in verse number 5, they got together because they had the same fruit. The first person that had been led to Christ over there in Achaia was that Epaphanitus in verse number 5 that was mentioned there in that passage. In other words, here's the first converts that were there. And then he goes on down and he mentions a Mary. Now, there's about 7 Marys that are listed in the scripture. The one that's named right here, that's one of them. And then you'll find that next of all, there's the mother of Jesus. She was Mary. Then there was Mary Magdalene, whom he cast out those devils. Then there was Mary, the mother of James and Jose. And then there's Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And then there's a Mary, the mother of John Martin. And then there's, seventhly, a Mary, who's the sister to Martha and to Lazarus. And so there's a lot of Marys that are, and this is a good testimony, that here's a Mary that loved God and the Bible and that which was good and right and moral and decent. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at is that we're looking for people that have the same fruit and that have the same mind. Now, when you look for people like that right there, they're going to have the same Bible. And let me tell you, that's the reason why in the day and hour that we're living in, the devil is working night and day and with generation after generation to discredit the word of the Lord and to give every perversion that he could finally come out and sell on the market. I'll tell you something, is that there's been time people tried to argue with and say, well, you know, this is a good passage here and I understand it better. And I've always asked them, well, here's a passage here that omits the word the Lord Jesus Christ. How does that make that better? When you take out God's name, how does that make it better? How does that improve that passage? Well, they've got no answer for that. And you know the reason why? Because there's not an answer. I got to say to you that if you're a child of God, you've got the same mind that Christ had because of the same word that Christ gives, which is the same word of the Lord. Now, these are Bible believers that we've got that are in this lesson here. And let me tell you, that's who you ought to be fellowshipping with. I didn't know he was going to be preaching on evil communications, corrupt good manners, but that is the truth of the deal. We do not catch, if you're a person that's healthy and you meet somebody that's not healthy, if you hang around them, if they're sick and diseased, they're not going to catch health from you. You're going to catch disease from them. And let me say to you that in the day and hour that we lived in, there's a lot of that kind of corrupt thinking that goes on. I've told you in days gone by, I'll tell you now and I'll tell you tomorrow and stand on it from now on. Somebody goes to yeah, yeah, and in your ear, I'll tell you how you stop that. You're going to find out who they're yeah, yeah about and confront them. Been too many times I jumped on a bandwagon and the band played out. Yes, when you got down to where the rubber met the road, wasn't that way at all. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that it's a dangerous business, and there's a lot of people up and down the road that I can promise you that hate my guts, and there's others that are soon to follow. And one of these days, if you stand for God long enough with your children, the devil will be pulling at you somehow or another.
Yes, you're right.
And I got to tell you right up front, I said this many years ago, and I mean it tonight, and I always will mean it. Our friendship stops right here.
Yes, sir.
That's just where it's at.
Yes.
When you cross the line, our friendship's going to stop right there.
Right.
In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that these are Bible believers that we ought to be having fellowship with. Now, I want you to look at about verse number 16 of this same chapter, chapter 16. I want you to look there in the passage. Now, he said, salute one another with a holy kiss. And notice this, the churches of Christ salute you. Do you know that's a pet peeve verse of the Church of Christ? And they're trying to say that this is, well, it doesn't say Church of Christ. It said the churches of Christ. See that? You know what that is? He's mentioning more than one Bible-believing church that has been founded by the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's not talking about the churches of Christ, plural. They use the Church of Christ. It's not church singular. It's churches, plural. And while they claim to be silent, where the scripture is silent, they're lying. Don't lose your text. We're not done with it. But in 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, there's a passage there that you ought to look at. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 16. And I wanted to throw this in so that we'd be able to know verse number 19. Now the Bible said, now watch this, in verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Notice in verse 19, the churches of Asia. Now that's not a denomination either. Those are local churches, more than one of them, that were over it and that were started, that were founded in Asia. The churches of Asia salute you. And notice Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. And so let me say to you that the church that was in their house had the same doctrine, the churches that had been founded over in Asia, the churches that had been founded back in their day in the area where that they were. I want to say to you, let God be true, and every religion is a liar. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that in verse number 17 and verse number 18, he said, I beseech you to mark them. This is back in Romans 16. I beseech you, brethren, to mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, you know the reason why the simple, and what that means is that people that are, you know, uneducated by the word of the Lord, haven't yet learned about it. They're not mature in the walk of life, much less in the word of the Lord. And let me say to you is that there's people that I promise you tonight would show up for a big supper that won't show up for the word of the Lord. I was thinking about in this passage, it was here. He said, these are interested in a meal, not a message. I can't tell you how many times, you know, you ever notice that when we have all them little old kids up here performing, people will show up out of the woodwork. Yes. And, of course, we feed them and treat them like they're kings, whoever they are. We're glad they came. But I got news for you. We live in a world, they're not interested in the message. They're more interested in supper than they are the scriptures. And, I mean, it's sort of like their attitude is this, let's forget the Bible and just sit down and eat. That's where we're at in the day and hour we're living. But Baptists have always been that. Yes. I remember a fellow by the name of Cullen Hawkins. He used to be my pastor years ago. Pastored over there at Second Baptist Church over there somewhere in Pasadena. And old Brother Hawkins, you liked him. I mean, here's what he'd do. He'd get through reading, shut his Bible, and he was known as a crying preacher in Pasadena, and everybody that ever knew him. No, he said, I used to have one of them big churches that you couldn't do what God wanted you to do. And I finally just pulled out and started this church to where I could preach whenever God wanted me to preach, how he wanted me to preach, without having to look over my shoulder and pull out a bunch of daggers out of my back. I'll tell you, old Brother Cullen, son, was the real deal. And by the way, let me say to you that when we get to heaven, look him up. You'll love him. You'll like him. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out is that there are people by good words and fair speeches. You know, they sound good on the surface, but it's like the young preacher preached tonight, they're not the real deal. You're going to meet lots of people like that up and down the road. I got to say in closing that, if you will, that while we look at a passage over there in the book of Philippians, it's in the book of Philippians that I'd like you to turn to and we'll look at. It's in chapter number 3. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ always had trouble with this religious but lost crowd. And here's what he did. is that over in Matthew chapter number 23, if you think this is rough in Philippians chapter 3, then you read over in Matthew 23 whenever he's reprimanding that bunch and he's calling them liars, called them murderers, called them thieves, called them hypocrites, called them blind guides, called them fools, called them a bunch headed toward hell. That's pointed preaching, friend. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, look in verse 18. Here's what he says. Philippians chapter number 3, verse 18. He says, for many walk, of whom that I've told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now notice their end. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Beware of anybody and everybody that you come in contact with that loves this world and this world's goods more than they do the church of the living God. I got to say to you, and we'll be closing, what this crowd liked, their gods are belly. They didn't like straight preaching. They don't really like hard preaching. They don't really like controversial preaching. And I can tell you right now, sometimes it gets on me. But it ought not to be getting on me the same thing every time. See, it ought to finally get to the place when God knocks on my heart that I repent toward God and by faith believe in what he said and confess my sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And I ought not have to get up and say that every time, because let me tell you right now, is if you're having trouble with the same sin over and over again, you got something a little bit more deeper than a need for confession. There's just some things that when we begin to look into the Bible is that the family of God can understand, that the family of God notices and knows. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. It thrills my soul to see this young man speak tonight. It will fill my soul to see some of these other young men someday, these young ladies grow up being godly women, and being able to have somebody that's a godly young man, see, and all that business there. And sometimes you're going to find out it takes a while. Sometimes it looks like it's never going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, it's the worth of the wait to wait on God, whatever it is you got in life. Now, you young men, you know the problem you're going to have. You're going to look around you and see some young lady that, oh, that is so beautiful, you can't get your mind off her whatsoever. You can't see by faith through the facade of that sometimes and see she's full of lockjaw germs. Now, not all of them are that way, so don't treat all of them like that, see? I mean, a woman is not a dog or a doormat.
Right.
But you got to be careful when it comes time to choose, because I got to tell you right up front, God will lead you and guide you to the right direction. So remember that, fellas. What if you married some witch that gripe and raise Cain every time you won't pick up your Bible to go to church? It's not going to be easy to go to church with that. It's just not going to be. And let me tell you right now, if they're not full of hell when they start out, every now and again the devil's going to get on them and she's going to look like she's the boogeyman. I've had some women in church that their husband had been blessed by dying years earlier. And after I'd been around them for a while, I was hoping I could be next. By that, I'm talking about mean as the devil. I've seen women like that. I've seen men like that. See, I've always made it a policy, and all that business there, is that to try to fight the good fight of faith. But if a man goes to slapping around a woman and so forth and on, I plan on, if it comes to my attention, and it's the truth, if it comes, then it's true. I plan to gather up enough men that'll take care of that business.
Yes, sir.
Show them what a whipping's really like.
Yes, sir.
You see that? No woman should have to live like that. No man should have to live like that.
Yes.
I got to tell you this. You can't let heaven be seen in your life around others. They won't see Jesus in you. If you're fussing and fighting and cussing and raising Cain all the time while you're at the house, around the house, or on the way to church.
Yeah,
see that? I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And that does not mean you're going to have a problemless marriage. It doesn't mean that. And it doesn't mean that my wife this morning She works like a dog all the time around there at the house. I tried to get her to sit down. I said, "Hon, don't you realize this is the golden year? Sit down a minute." "I can't. I got 2 minutes I got to get done, this and that." Now, she's not a workaholic by any means. But anyhow, she's busy going here, there, and yon. It wasn't long she brought me, of course, like she does every morning, that glass of orange juice and set it down for me. Got all them pills out that I could take. And then not only that, but when she brought that platter and that plate, I had a cat head biscuit that big around. And I had some sawmill gravy by it, some bacon laying there by it. And I'd been wanting some grits the other day, and so now I've had a couple of handfuls of grits. If you don't like grits, I don't really care, but I like it. And I said, "Oh, my honey, God bless you." See? And let me just say to you that if you will, if you want to have heaven in your home, you're going to have to try to be heavenly.
Yes, sir.
It's that simple. I ain't got enough heaven in my home. You're going to have to be heavenly yourself.
Yes,
and joy will come down and glory will fill your soul.
Yes.
And in this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, I hope and trust and pray that you're glad to be a part of the family of God. All right, let's stand to our feet as we get